come and grab a drink of water. It is still very hot. There's ice in there. It's always good. Cool. A couple of jugs are awkward to pour because I haven't got a nozzle, so I don't spill it. That's okay. It's lovely. We're going to start things a little bit differently. We're going to read the Bible passage first, and then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to get into it. So I have the wonderful people at the back here put the Bible passage on. This is a continuation from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. So if you have got a Bible on your phone or a Bible with you, you can follow along and go from there. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word, by the world." Hey, let's pray. Hey, God, let's just let those words sink over us for the moment there, Lord. We thank you for being here tonight, and let us thank you for opening up your word to us tonight. Lord, be with us and help us to get something from tonight, whether it be from the message or whether it be from the worship or whether it be from even just fellowship, but open our hearts up to listen to you some way tonight. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to go back a few years myself, but for you guys, it's probably more current. I ask you, what type of student are you? Are you one of those people that would listen intently to what the lecturer or the teacher says? Or are you one of those people that would drift in and out of conversation when the teacher is saying something? Or are you one of those people that would just not listen at all and sit at the back and just make fun and just have fun yourselves? Now, for me, I'm probably a combination of all three of them. There were definitely some classes which I loved, and so I would hang off every word that the teacher said. I'd be one of like those little lap dogs waiting there and just going hanging out what they said. But for others, I didn't care much for what they said. And obviously, there were all these situations where there's been those teachers or lecturers that have got that plain monotone voice that will just send you to sleep. Hopefully I don't have that, and hopefully you won't fall asleep tonight, it's okay. But we all have been part of that sort of environment where we've seen that happen. And during secondary school, I didn't pay that attention that much to one of my classes in particular. My friends and I worked out, probably about year 8 or year 9, that the teacher that we had was pretty boring and wasn't that interesting. And so we would come, after the first few weeks, we decided to have a bit of a game. We used to have his class after lunch, and he had a beard. He had a long beard. And so what we used to do is we used to have bets on whether we could work out what he had for lunch or not. So he sat at the back of the class, and because every now and again he'd leave a bit of crumbs in his beard or something. So we'd sit at the back of the class, look intently at him, and see whether we could work out what he had for lunch. And I think we had a bit of, like, we all put in 10 cents. Back in those days, it was a lot. No, we all put in 10 cents or 15 cents or 20 cents or whatever it was and worked out who would become the closest to what he actually had. We couldn't just say he had, like, a toasted cheese sandwich. We had to say why he had it, because we thought we could smell the cheese from back here. We could see the crumbs dropping off his face. We had to have that sort of thing. And so It went on for about a term or a semester. And each day after class, we said, oh, that was a great class, sir, but we want to know something. We want to know what you're having for lunch. And so he would tell us, and whoever got the closest would get the money. And it worked. It really worked. The teacher said, even in my report, said, Chris pays attention well in class, but needs to put more effort into his work. And so you can have this time. You can have this time when you're listening, when you're actually paying attention, but you're not listening to people. And so it happens to all of us all the time when we've all been in those conversations where you say something and you just know that the other person's not listening, that you can say anything you want right there and then and they wouldn't listen. We've all been in those conversations and we've probably all done it ourselves as well, where we've actually heard someone talking and what did they just say? They're asking a question and I'm supposed to respond here. I'm stuck here. I don't know what to say. I say, yep. That's good. So we've all been in that situation where someone's been talking, we haven't listened well enough. And there's a story out of America, which I might have told before, that one of its presidents, Franklin Roosevelt, often endured long lines of having to meet and greet people. And so he was sick and tired of people coming up to him and not listening to what he said. So one day he had an experiment. And so each person who passed down the line, he would say, well, what did he say? He said, I murdered my grandmother today. So each person who walked along the line, he'd shake their hand and say, I murdered my grandmother today. I murdered my grandmother today. And because he was the president of the United States of America, everyone else didn't realize what he was saying. He was just gobsmacked on who he was. So he'd be saying, marvelous, you're doing a great job. God bless you. And each one he'd say, I killed my grandmother today. Until the last person, who was the ambassador for Bolivia, was confused by what he actually said. And so he could confuse, he leaned over and said, well, I'm sure she had it coming, and walked away. See, listening is an important tool to have. At the start of this section, James said, take note, because it's one of those things where he says, hey, take note, you know, this is going to be really important. Just like at the start of the previous one, he says, whenever you go through trials, it means we're not going to, if we go through trials, whenever you go through trials, you have to be wary. It says here, take note, because this thing is really important and it's really easy to stuff up. See, it is so easy not to listen to someone. It's so easy just to sit there and not take in what they're saying. But James is telling us to listen. Not only do we need to be quick to listen, but we need to be slow to speak and slow to get angry. While it's important to do this in all situations, with your friends and with family and with anyone you come into, James says it's also really important to do it with God. And so tonight, James is saying, hey, it is important to do it with your friends and not to get angry with your friends. And in listening to them, it's also really important to listen to God when he's speaking. So tonight he's specifically saying that. He's specifically talking about listening to God and being slow to speak back and slow to get angry at him. See, when James wrote in verse 19, it says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He wasn't just talking about ourselves, he's talking about it's God. He was talking about our willingness to speak to God and not listen to God like we usually do. It says there, the word planted in you which can save you is the end of verse 19 to 20. It says the word, talking about God's word, God's Bible, God's the way that he talks to you. So we need to be more interested in hearing what God says than telling him what we think. We need to be interested in hearing the word and not speaking about it and not rushing through it. I'm convinced that people are much more interested in talking to God than listening to him. I want to show another little video. This is from, it's a TV show, Big Bang Theory. I forgot about it for a second. And it's just like this. Again, hopefully you might have seen this before, but play it up there and have a go.
Play. Trying to use a Jedi mind trick to control Stephen Hawking. Play. Ugh. He must be wearing a tinfoil hat or something.
I did a bad thing.
Does it affect me?
No.
Then suffer in silence. Play. Stephen Hawking.
Penny started taking a class. She wrote a paper. She didn't want me to read it. I went behind her back. I read it anyway.
Stephen Hawking hates me.
I don't know what to do. I mean, the paper's terrible. But if I tell her, she'll know that I read it, and she'll get really mad.
I was beating him so bad, he doesn't want to be friends anymore. Why does everyone love me except Stephen Hawking?
Is it possible we're having two different conversations?
How would I know? I'm not listening to you.
Here's what we're going to do. Chess clock. We each get 5 minutes to talk about our problems. We'll take turns. Each turn will consist of a statement and a helpful response from the friend. Begin.
I humiliated Stephen Hawking in a game of words with friends. He stopped playing, and now we're not friends anymore.
He's probably busy. You're worried about nothing. Give it a couple more days. I'm sure he'll play and you'll see that everything's fine. Mike. I can't let Penny hand in a bad paper, but how do I tell her it's bad without letting her know that I read it?
Beats me. Now, I know Hawking's not busy, but I can see he's playing other people right now.
Maybe since you're so good, he's taking his time to meet the challenge. I want Penny to enjoy it.
Wallace told me he's a big baby. Yeah, I didn't know that. I played extract for 82 points. It was all Amy's fault. She told me to play it. I've got to cut her loose.
Sheldon, I wasn't done talking. She hands in the paper tomorrow. I know I could help her. She's my girlfriend. I should be allowed to help her. Why aren't I allowed to help her?
I hear you, brother.
You need to give me some advice.
Fine. Women, huh?
To my situation.
Right, blonde women, huh?
Apathetic.
It sucks to be you. Wait, no. I listen to your dumb thing.
Now, it seems to me that we can be sometimes like Sheldon and God can be like the other character. Leonard, there we go. Okay. That we are so busy wanting to talk to God and so busy saying about our prayers that we forget to spend time listening to God. See, I can guarantee all of us have been guilty from one time to another. We think about our own prayer lives and we think about when we're going through rush, when we're going through trials and troubles that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Mainly our prayer times consist of running over a list of things of what we need to do. But sometimes we just need to stop and just have a time to listen to God. And sometimes we just need to stop and just pray, or sometimes just stop and read the Bible to talk about what God is talking to us. See, if we're all honest with ourselves, we can probably guarantee that most of our prayer lives are pretty much a one-way list. And one way that we talk to God is just a one-way list. We don't spend that much time listening to what God has to say to us. See, when we have our quiet time, it's mainly about how we can grow or how we can learn. But sometimes we need to have the attitude of just, hey, let's just stop for a moment. Let's just pause and see what God's talking to us. Let's just open up the Bible and think, okay, what's God speaking to me about this today? Let's just stop and pause and think about that. We need to have an attitude of listening to God. See, the next step that James talks about, right after he says listens to God, is that we should be doers of the word. We should not just listen to it. That's our first step. Because our first step is just to listen to it. But the second step is to listen to it and let's take action. Let's do some of the stuff that's talking about it. There's a story out of the States of the annual convention of the American Heart Association met 1 year. And that 300,000 doctors, nurses, researchers gathered to discuss, amongst other things, the importance of a low-fat diet in healthy hearts. And so some researchers said, and did some research at lunchtime, and did some checking around because all the doctors were having a free lunch and what they were actually having for lunch. Now, 70% of those people consumed deep-fried chicken, cheeseburgers with bacon and french fries, and all this other sort of fatty, greasy stuff, when they had just gone about talking about having a low-fat and low-carb diet. And so we can sit back and say, man, that's stupid. They're being hypocrites for saying one thing but doing another thing. But it's so often with our faith that we listen to God and we know what God tells us to do, but it doesn't change us. We go out and do something else. See, there are a lot of Christians out there that will say that they are Christians. And they'll say they believe in God, but it doesn't actually change their lives. They don't act upon what they say or they don't act upon what they do. So you know the ones who say they're a Christian, they might go to church, they might go to a Bible study, but when they go away during the week, their actions aren't what they are. Their actions don't reflect what God is talking about. I'm sure we've all been guilty of it. Now, I know I've been guilty of it every now and again. Well, I know there have been times in my life where I've had to stop what I was doing and look myself in the mirror and think, okay, is this what I've been reading about? Is this what God wants me to do? See, one of the biggest things I've heard from people and one of the biggest problems they have with Christianity is that they think some Christians are hypocrites. We say we believe in one thing, but we do something completely opposite. We go around preaching that we should love our neighbour, but we forget to help the people next door to us. We look at the plank. We are told to look at the plank in our own eye before we look at the speck in someone else's eye, but we still tell someone off for being so sinful. Or we read in Ephesians, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as to build someone else up. Yet we are happy to join in when other people are gossiping against other people. These are some of the things that get non-Christians really upset about Christianity because they're saying one thing but not actually taking part of it. And so James is what talking about here as well. He says, don't only listen to the word, but actually do something about it. Make it change your life. He says one final story. A young boy was walking home through a park after Sunday school. Somehow he couldn't stop thinking about the lesson he learnt when Jesus told the parable and the story of the Last Judgment. You know the one where Jesus says, if you treat a homeless person, then you're treating him like me. Treating someone in the needy, then you're treating someone like me. And so he was impressed with what the teacher said. He said, well, when you give something to another person, you're actually giving it to Jesus. So as he continued to walk through the park, he noticed an old lady sitting on the bench. She looked lonely and hungry. So he sat down next to her, took out of his pocket a chocolate bar which he had been saving, and he offered her some. She smiled with a great smile. He liked her smile so much that after she had eaten her piece, she gave him some more. This time they exchanged smiles for a while and sat down in silence. Finally, the boy got up to leave. As he began to walk away, he turned his back, ran back to the bench and gave the woman a big hug. And she gave him the biggest smile she ever could give. When he arrived home, his mother saw a big smile on his face and asked, what made you so happy today? He said, I shared my chocolate bar with Jesus today and shared a great smile. See, this is what James is talking about. This is what James is talking about. The word God's teaching and the things we read about in his Bible should change our lives. It's not just some book like Harry Potter that we think, oh, it's a great book, and put it down and that's it. It's a book that's supposed to change our life. When we listen to God, when we talk to God, we're not supposed to just be like a one-way conversation. James is saying, listen to God and let it change your life and act upon it. So there's two things to get out of tonight. There's two things we need to remember. Firstly, if you look at your own life, you think, well, I haven't been listening to God that much. It has been a one-way conversation. Spend some time this week thinking about how you can listen to God, spending some time just chilling out with him and listening from there. And for those who've got that down pat, then look at your lives and think, okay, where do I need to put God into my life now? Where do I need to follow up on that? Where do I need to act out what I read? Where do I need to be more like Jesus in my life? James is saying that these two things go up and down all the time. There are times in our life where we're going hammer and tong and we're doing it really well. There's other times in our lives when we're going to be struggling with this sort of stuff. So have a look at those things in your life. And let's close in prayer. Hey God, thank you for the great example that you are, and thank you for your word, that we can learn from you. And Lord, analyze our own life where we might be struggling, whether it's just listening to you or whether it's putting things into action there, Lord. See, our faith is a rolling on faith. So we move on. And it's not a stagnant one that stays the same, but we get closer to you. So, Lord, help us to remember that to listen to you and also to put into action what we hear. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.